So last week, our theme was about the covenant worship. And I got the idea that for one place to everywhere, because the people of Israel was prepared to cross the Jordan and enter in the promised land when God commanded them to destroy all idols and place connect to idolatry. God promised to show a special place among the tribes where the people of Israel could worship him and enjoy his presence. We saw that this place was a place of worship, a place of atonement, a place of forgiveness. We saw this place was where the families of Israel should come together to celebrate, enjoy each other in fellowship, enjoy God's presence. We saw that place is where they were expected to bring tithes and offering and sacrifice. We saw that Jesus inaugurated a new temple, and this temple, it's me and you, and we, because of that, we can say that it's this worship is from one place to everywhere we go. And today, we are talking about a theme that is part of worship, that is called tithe. And we try together, and help us to understand, what is tithe, how this start, what's the connection between Old Testament and today. And we have many passages today to read, to try. So I want you really is facilitate you to read and try to get your own understanding of the Word of God. And we have so many very difficult words for Brazilian to say in English, big words. So, you know, but yeah, you can read, so you can, even if I make a mistake here that I will, you will understand anyway. So the first thing we can see here is the practice of tithing exists before the law. It was not something that Moses created. It was there already in their culture. We have the example, for example, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. It says, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be God Most High when delivered your enemies into your hand.' Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." This happened around 400 years before the law. And the author, even the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, he talks about this event. Not to talk about, really about tithe, but you see, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham, returned from the defeat of the kings, and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of the days or end of the life, resembling, this is a very important word, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So, although the idea here in Hebrews chapter 7 was not to talk about tithe, but to show that Melchizedek was a kind of Christ, and to show that you can see here that Abraham gave a tithe to him, so because he recognized him as a superior to Abraham. Okay, so when Abraham gave the tithe to Melchizedek, he was recognized that Melchizedek was a superior to him. So you see here that there is a normal practice by that time. And we see also in Jacob, when Jacob promised tithe to God, in Genesis 28, 20 to 22, says, "Then Jacob made a vow, say, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking, and I will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob was the grandson of Abraham. And although the motive, the reason of this prayer was not very good, you can see that he was bargaining with God, we see that he learned from his parents the idea that tithe, it was something that was normal, was a principle in their culture. So now we can go for the next question, is what kind of tithes we have in Old Testament? Well, we know that we can find all kinds of different things, small things there. But there are at least four main that we can talk here. The first one, the first tithe, is the Levite tithe. Okay, this happened in Numbers, Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 to 24. When said, the Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in the land, nor will have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serve at the tent of meeting. From now on, the Israelites must not go near the tent of meeting, or they will be the consequence of their sin and will die. It is the Levites who are to do the work at the tent of meeting and bear the responsibility for any offense they commit against it. This is a lasting ordinance for the generation to come. They will receive no inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. So the first tithe we see here in the Old Testament is the tithe to the Levites. Only members for this tribe, the Levite tribe, they could work in the tent in this special place that God shows. It was a holy place. Nobody can, only. And what is the reason in that text we read why the only the Levites received the tithe? The first one was because they had no inheritance in their land. We saw that in verse 20. And the second reason here is for their work in the temple, in the tent. I remember in Brazil, at least, probably in America, another country, but in Brazil I had many experience that as a pastor there, that some people group who lead the worship, they call themselves, we are the Levites of the church, okay? And was almost, they feel like a special group. Like, and sometimes I look here and I say, wow, this kind of the Levite of the Old Testament, if you say that you're Levite of the thing, you need to remember that Levite does everything in the temple. Do not sing. I think when they have time, when there's time thing, they will sing. But most of the time, they're clean, they will prepare, maybe clean the toilet, put chairs, if they have chairs at the time. You know, it's everything was with them. So if I was in Brazil now, and people are the Levites, you say, yeah, so you will take care of everything because it's your responsibility as a Levite. So the second tithe we see here is connect with the Levites because the Levites should give the tithes too, okay? So it's the tithe of tithes offered by Levites. Numbers 18, 25 to 29 says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. Your offering will be reckoned to you as a grain from the threshing floor or juice from the wine press. In this way, you also will present an offering to the Lord for all the tithes you receive from these highlights. From these tithes, you must give to the Lord's portion to Aaron, the priest. You must present as the Lord's portions, the best and holiest part of everything give to you. So we have it here. There is a tithe for the Levites. There is a tithe of the tithes of tithes that Levite give to the Aaron, the priest. And there is the third one, and I love that. The third, they call the festival tithe. So Deuteronomy 12, verse 5 to 8 says, to that place you must go. There bring your burnt offering and sacrifice, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give in your freewill offering, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord, you, your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put in your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Deuteronomy 14, 22, 26 says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your field produce each year. Each the tithe of your grain, new wine and olive oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord, your God always. But if that place is too distant, and you have been blessed by the Lord your God, and cannot carry your tithe, because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver, and take the silver with you, and go to the place where the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like. Cattle, sheep, wine, or other ferment drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. This is amazing. What you see here, Moses is teaching that at least one time a year, the Israelites should go to the temple in Jerusalem, and there they have to bring the tithe, and the tithe was not money. Was cow, sheep, food. Okay? Plantation, they harvest. And in the, how we call it, atrium, close to the temple, they have to do a barbecue. Was a party. Was something very, fellowship was there. Come with your family. I love it here, the idea that when you do that, you do with God in your heart. You celebrate in the presence of the Lord. Okay? And I love this part when say, do you know, if the place where we choose, the temple where we are, is too far, because everyone from Israel should go, it's no problem. You can sell in your town everything your tithe. You sell everything and bring money and travel, because you cannot carry maybe 100 kilometers, 200 kilometers with the offering. But when you arrive in the town, you can buy everything what you want. You see in the text, everything what you wish. They talk about cow, sheep, wine, olive oil, ferment drink, everything. Some people can be like, yeah. But yeah, it's everything there. And you have to sit and have a party and celebrate. Enjoy as family with friends, because many families will be there. And just enjoy. It's so amazing, this perspective, that we can enjoy ourselves. For many churches, when you talk about service, it's something, like be together, you cannot do this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. It's just not, you cannot do anything for some. But God said, come and enjoy. But the difference here, that God didn't say, come and enjoy your flesh. It's not what he's talking about here, okay? He said, you come as a family, and you can use the tithe for enjoy, but with me in your heart, with God in your heart. So when you have this kind of barbecue in Jerusalem, okay, they have to be connected. Say, we are here to say thank you to God for everything he gave me. We are here as a family, recognize that everything we have, everything we produced this year came from the Lord. And we as a family, we are here to celebrate and say, everything we have is from you, Lord. This makes a difference, because when God is present, our behavior change. It's not about flashes. Okay? So this, I want to make sure that I'm not here to say, hey, Pastor Marcos is teaching about do everything. It's not what I'm talking about here. Okay? It's be free to enjoy the God's presence. Okay? The fourth tithe here is the tithe to the poor. Deuteronomy 14:28-29 says, at the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, and so that the Lord, your God, may bless you in all the work of your hands. Deuteronomy 26:12-13 also says, when you have finished, set aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe. You shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commanded. I have not turned aside from your command, nor have I forgotten any of them. This tithe was a resource to help the poor, the Levites, the foreigner, the widows. So this it's very interesting to note here that this tithe was not to be given in the temple. It's in your own town. They don't need to travel. What they said here, every 3 years, every family should to get this 10% of what they produce, and they have to bring to this town, for his town, where they live, and you have to store it there, because this will be used to help the poor. Okay? So this is the idea here. So if you can summarize so far, so the practice of tithing exists before the law. We have basically four types of tithes. First, the Levite tithe. Second, the tithe of the tithes offered by the Levites. Third, the festival tithe. And fourth, the tithe for the poor. And so when you look for the Old Testament tithe, we had here three main purposes. First one, support of Levites and the temple maintenance. This is the goal there. This is why it was created. Second, support for the family celebrations in God's house, in the presence of the Lord. This was the goal. Third, support of the poor of Israel every 3 years. So now we come for the big question is, how can we connect the tithe in the Old Testament with New Testament, if you can? How can you do this? Okay. So we have some few observations about that before I have the conclusion. First one is, the Levite tithe no longer exists. Okay? The Levite tithe no longer exists. The Old Testament tithe went to the Levites. The Levites cannot longer receive that because we don't have any more Levites. Okay? The another thing we have, how many churches are living in the promised land? We are not living the promised land. Okay? And if you see in Deuteronomy 12:19 says, be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. We are not in Israel, so we don't need to give the tithe for the Levites. Second observation, Jesus is the high priest of a new covenant. So Hebrews 8, verse 6 and 13 says, but in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is a superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. So, in this new covenant, we are not longer anymore under the Old Testament. So we need to understand that. Second, there is no longer a mandatory obligation to tithe according to the Old Testament. We don't need anymore, okay? But my third observation here is that the main needs present in the Old Testament remain present in the New Testament, in the church today. What was the need? First of all, was the support of full-time pastors and maintenance of the church. This is a real need here. And Jesus thought about that when you look in Luke chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. Jesus said, stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the work deserves his wage. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Jesus was talking about the disciples who were going to preach the gospel, and this is about Jesus saying that. Okay? It's this idea. So we can see the principle here. 1 Timothy verse 5, 17 to 18, we see Paul talk about that when he said the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worth of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wage. So, the idea, the need to support who is involved with the ministry is present, Old Testament and New Testament. The maintenance of the temple need money, so it's the need is still here. Second, the support to help those in need. How can the church today help the poor, help the organizations, for example, who work with people in need? How can the church help, for example, like refugees and goes on without money? So it's a need that we have to deal with. Third, we have to support to expand the God's kingdom. So how can we... Bibles, we need Bibles. We need print Bibles. We need send the God's word everywhere. We need send the God's word for any place. But for that, church need money. It's a need. It's there. Okay. So, the fourth and last one observation here is that instead of law tithes, we now have grace giving or loving love giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, have all that you need. You will abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gift to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving. We are not more under the law. We don't give tithes because we are so afraid because we'll be cursed if you not. No. Now we offer and worship is a worship. Our tithe is really a worship. It's a way to worship God, to recognize that it's not only 10% that belongs to Him. It belongs to everything. It's 100% what you have. There is no angel in charge of the books in the heaven to take a look and see, okay, let's see, Jonathan, how much was this month? Check, check. No, God doesn't need our money, but we give because we recognize that everything we have belongs to Him. We give because we want to worship Him. We give because you know that although church is a spiritual, we talk about a spiritual realm here, but in our human level, we need money. We need money to pay the bills, to pay the light, to warm the place where we worship. We need money. We need money to help the poor, to help the refugees. We need money. Because of that, and because I recognize that I'm part of this church, I give generously, lovingly, with freedom, but not by compulsion. It's an expression of worship. This is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the need is still here. So we can just few conclusions. While the Old Testament tithe is not longer applicable, we may and should learn from it. It's a divine principle. Okay, so we have to respect this idea. But it's not only 10%, could be even more. God is not looking for to make sure how much you give. But it's about your heart. It's about your freedom to give. Second, giving is a worship. Therefore, all Christians should give generously. Third, Christian has the privilege and the opportunity to give freely, voluntarily, lovingly, and in faith, to support those preaching and teach the word of God and ministry in the church. This is should be our heart when we are invited to contribute to offering. It's an expression of worship. Okay? So I invite you to pray and dedicate your life to the Lord. And we finish today. Realizing that when you give, it's much more than put money in a bag. It's, we are worshiping Him. We are saying to Him, we trust in you, and I recognize that everything I have belongs to you, and I want to be part of this community. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you very much for your words. Teach us to give generously. Help us to understand that everything we have belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.